אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Front page story this week is an amazing true story about a member of the Australian Jewish community, young man who participated in a secret mission to help rescue Afghanistan women during the evacuation when the US pulled out of Kabul. In April 2020, when the Australian Union of Jewish Students activist and federal president of B'nai Akiva Australia, Eddie Lichtig, was asked to join Monash University's International Affairs Society, he never thought he would be put in a position where he would be responsible for saving lives. But the Orgies Victoria political affairs director was involved in the club to represent the university in debates with students in Afghanistan over Zoom, specifically young Afghan women. But when Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, fell on August the 14th, one of his lecturers, Jackie True, felt a responsibility to help the Afghan scholars, teachers and activists involved in the program, knowing that many of them would be condemned to the Taliban kill list. So knowing Lichtig had a broad network of political connections and a strong passion for humanitarian work, his lecturer called on him to join a small team of staff and students whose mission was to help these young female activists escape. Now, of course, the 449 humanitarian visas are incredibly hard to obtain in Afghanistan, are the visas to Australia. But Lichtig immediately started calling on his parliamentary contacts, including 10 Australian MPs, and also some staff members at the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And he was granted access to a live channel where he was fed intelligence and instructions on how to move these women or guide them from the back to the front of the queue, a 3 to 5 day non-stop journey in Kabul. At this point, the dedicated team had committed to rescuing 19 Afghan women who had fled their homes and were trying to enter the airport in Kabul. Splitting the groups up to give them a better chance, he began feeding information to them via phone calls and text to the member of the group that best spoke English, instructing them on how to move through checkpoints carefully on the way to the dangerous airports. He and his team took shifts throughout the night. For a few days, it became a 24-hour operation. So the sleep-deprived 22-year-old, hearing word of a planned bombing, the team picked up the pace of their operation, and at 3:30 a.m. on August 24th, the remaining three groups were at the final gate of the airport, ready to present their visas, when he received word that one of the women's brother and mother who were with her did not have the necessary visa papers. Lichtig began to scramble, contacting his government connections, desperate to get the visas, and after sending a variety of texts to and fro, at 3:45 a.m. Australian time, he managed to get a visa for the person within just a few hours. And at this point, 11 members of this group managed to get through to the airport. Two of the other groups, some of them were scared and returned to their homes. But later, one of those groups actually made it safely to Canada. And the 11 members of Lichtig's group that did make it, he was there when they passed through the last gate and made it to the other side into safety. And they then caught a plane to Dubai, and when they touched down in Australia, he received a photo of them smiling and in safe hands. So it's an amazing story where he played a direct role in saving 11 lives.
And we are talking to Shandy Ziatnik, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Jewish Update with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, Malka Leifer ordered to stand trial. We all expected it.
Yes, so the former Das Israel school principal will be tried on 70 charges of child sexual abuse after a Melbourne magistrate ruled that evidence against her justified a trial. In a 9-day committal hearing at the Melbourne Magistrates Court last week, 4 of the initial 74 charges relating to Leifer's alleged conduct while principal at the school between 2004 and 2008 were dropped because they were allegedly committed in Israel. But the remaining 70 charges, which will now go to trial, include 11 counts of rape. Leifer entered a plea of not guilty, and she will appear before a directions hearing in the Country Court of Victoria next on October 21.
Shane's 60th anniversary to Walpa Jewish Hospital in Sydney.
Yes, Walpa passes the 60-year milestone as an institution of which the Jewish community can be very proud. Walpa Jewish Hospital President Richard Glass told the Jewish News Week. Walpa opened on its current site in Woollahra, Sydney's eastern suburbs, on August the 20th, 1961, as a result of a merger between the New South Wales Jewish Hospital, which had closed in 54, and the Walpa Convalescent Home. Its founder's vision was a Jewish hospital that cares for the well-being of all, irrespective of religion, race, background or beliefs. And since its establishment, the hospital has evolved and adapted. Originally envisaged as a surgical hospital, it made the decision to close its operating theatres in 2002 to focus on developing rehabilitation service.
Shane, I just want to point on something really interesting, because the property was donated by Mrs. Walpa. Can you tell us about it? The property in Woollahra, where the hospital is now on.
That's right. It was came about following a bequest from Gertie Walpa Stone to the National Council of Jewish Women's Hospital Visiting Committee. So its founders purchased the property that way. And it's a big property too, in a very prime part of Woollahra.
That's right. Now I understand where the name Walpa comes from. The lady that actually left the property to the Walpa Hospital. And Shane, before we go, very shortly, there is an interesting article this week in the AJN. The title is A Tale of Two Communities, the Australian community and the American Jewish community. There is some fascinating comparison there.
Yes, the article compares two surveys that were done recently, one in Australia called the Gen 17 Australian Jewish Community Survey, which was one of the biggest surveys of its kind done of Jewish communities in the world. And the other one was the Jewish Americans in 2020 report by the Pew Research Center, United States. Now, there's all sorts of topics and categories that are compared in this fascinating article. One of the takeaways is that Australian Jews are actually collectively more Jewishly engaged, which was an interesting point. Also, Australian conservative, reform and secular groups are significantly more engaged than their US counterparts, whereas the Australian Orthodox community is significantly less engaged than the Orthodox community in the US.
Can you compare the numbers? How many Jews in America?
Yeah, we're comparing a community of 7.5 million people in America who identify as being Jewish, and that's some 2.5% of America's population. And we're comparing that to 117,903 Jews in Australia, according to the latest census, and that makes up 0.49% of Australia's population.
That is really interesting, comparing the two communities. I mean, the American community is huge, 7.5 million. It's really huge. And the Jews in Australia, only maybe 120,000 in total. Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.